Football fans have been hungry for their favorite sport since the Super Bowl. They're finally getting some appetizers now that the preseason games are underway. Tim Green is among those feasting on the return of the NFL. He was a defensive end for the Atlanta Falcons for 8 years, and he's worked as an analyst for Fox Sports and National Public Radio. During the offseason, Tim Green writes books. He's penned a dozen suspense novels. His new book, however, is a departure from the thriller genre. It's called Football Genius, and it's his first novel for young readers. Tim Green is in the studios of WAER in Syracuse, New York. Hey, it's nice to talk to you again.
It's so good to be back here with you, Leanne.
I have to ask you, you have written about football before. You had a best-selling nonfiction book, The Dark Side of the Game. Why did you want to go back to the subject?
I wish I could say that the idea was mine, but it was actually the idea of my editor at HarperCollins Children. And she said, you know, I've got this idea. Would you be interested in writing a novel for kids and setting it in the world of professional football, where I know she had read from my bio that I had played in the NFL? And I said, I love the idea. She said, do you think you could? I said, you know, coincidentally, my wife Alyssa and I have 5 kids, and I read to my kids every night before they go to bed. And so I really have a fondness for the genre, and I was thrilled to set a story about kids in that world of professional football.
The plot is interesting. It's a young boy named Troy, and his mom is a single mom, and his mom eventually gets a job with the Atlanta Falcons. But he has a gift. Explain what his gift is.
Well, he has this genius. He's a savant, Leanne, in that he's normal in every other way, except he can make these incredible calculations based on mathematical patterns that just kind of appear in his head based on a football game and the plays that a certain team runs. What happens in the real world of the NFL is players and coaches spend an inordinate amount of time studying the opposition's tendencies. And these tendencies are based on real variables: down, distance, field position, personnel groupings, and formations. And as a player in the NFL, I had the experience of being a football genius from time to time. It would usually only happen once or twice a game, but in certain situations, certain down and distances, certain formations with motions, I would know what the play was going to be. And it always fascinated me that with all these probabilities out there and computer analysis, I always thought, well, what if somebody was a lot smarter than I am and could really make these calculations on every play once they got the patterns down? And so Troy White in the story has that football genius.
Your son's name is Troy.
It yes.
Happens to be the name of your main character. Coincidence?
No, Troy, my son, is the character. The character in the story is Troy. I took his physical appearance, his emotions, everything about him, and just transposed him into this fictional story. I did the same thing with Tate McGreer, his best friend, who is my younger daughter. She's only 9, but I extrapolated her out a couple of years to make her an 11-year-old, almost 12-year-old in the story.
How did Troy and Tate feel about how their characters came out in the book?
Both of them were thrilled with being a part of the book and being characters in the book. I will say that with Troy, I was very honest about his character and who he is. And the character in the story isn't a perfect character. He is a hothead, and he says things sometimes that he shouldn't. And, you know, he grows throughout the story, and he learns from the mistakes that he makes. And he is quick to, have tears come to his eyes. And that really bothers the character, and it really bothers my son. But I always make him feel better and say, you know, you got that from me.
Does your daughter Tate kick a football as well as your character Tate?
No, she doesn't. She can't win any punt, pass, and kick contest as Tate does in the story. But Troy, on the other hand, is quite a football player.
Troy, the character in the book, is a very good football player, but he never really gets the chance to play.
Well, it was important to me in the story to have these two parallel plot lines. The story of Troy trying to convince the Atlanta Falcons that he can help them win games with his genius and the obstacle of overcoming a diabolical assistant coach, And then the parallel track of Troy in his own life as a 12-year-old boy who doesn't have a father, and because of that, he's not the starting quarterback on his own team. And it's creates a terrible amount of angst in Troy's life, not just because he's frustrated because he's a better player and isn't getting on the field, but because, in fact, he doesn't know who his father is. And I thought that there are so many kids out there today in single-parent families that it was an issue that I wanted to grapple with in the story.
You actually read the book. As you were writing it, you went to your daughter's class, and you would read parts of the book as it was going on. What kind of feedback did you get from the kids?
Laughter. And the feedback I was looking for the most, I was looking for laughter, because my own kids said at one point in the manuscript, they said, "Dad, you need more funny stuff." And I really wrote this book for kids. And fortunately, I have kids in that age range. And so they were a very interactive part of the writing, because I wanted to please them. So I would get laughter. But the thing I was looking for in the classroom and the reading in the classroom was, at the end of every chapter, and the chapters are all short, and I kind of picked this trick up, Leanne, with my adult suspense novels. You really want to keep the chapter short, and then you want to end each chapter with a lot of forward momentum, a cliffhanger, if you will. And so what I would do is I would end a chapter, and if the kids sitting around on the reading rug didn't say, "Mr. Green, keep going," then I would have to go back and rewrite the end of that chapter. That was my goal, and from the response so far, I think I achieved that.
What was some of the funny stuff you put in based on the kids' requests?
Nathan, who's Troy's best friend, is kind of the comic relief in a lot of the story. So it's really the story is about these three kids, Troy, Tate, and Nathan. And as you know from reading it, Nathan's a bit of a clown. He's kind of a big kid. He's described as a middle school kid in the body of a high school kid. He's just this big, burly offensive lineman on the football team. And he's got this wonderful sense of humor. And a lot of times it's kind of a dry sense of humor. Sometimes it's kind of crude. At one point, he moons the judge in a – I probably shouldn't even say this, but this is the raciest part of the book, is when he moons the judge in the punt, pass, and kick contest. But he also, at the end of the story, he fakes this mortal illness in front of these guards in the Falcon Stadium in order to allow Troy and Tate to slip by the guards so that he can get to the owner and save the day. So a lot of it does have to do with Nathan. He's my clown. I just want to say one thing about, as I mentioned, his mooning the judge is the raciest thing in the story. I really worked hard. I wanted the book to be something that would excite kids with the action of the NFL and, you know, being on the sidelines with the blood and the broken bones and the yelling and the sweat and the camaraderie. But off the field, I wanted to keep it very, very clean. I wanted it to be something that I wouldn't be embarrassed to read aloud to my daughter's class in school, which is what I did. You know, I love those old Disney movies, you know, where you can watch them with the family and have a good time. And that's what I wanted the book to be.
Was this harder for you or easier to write than the complicated thrillers that you write?
This was so easy to write. And I enjoyed it so much to get my kids' input and their ideas and to have their thoughts on everything. I mean, you know, dialogue and the plot. And, you know, as I said, adding humor to it and what's believable and what's not believable, it was a lot of fun. You know, I take my own boys and my girls to NFL games from time to time and let them go behind the, you know, backstage, if you will, you know, on the sidelines and in the locker rooms and things like that. And I was excited about taking young readers to those places because it really is a magical place. I mean, the NFL and an NFL stadium and a practice facility and even the mansions of the players. I mean, these are things that I think fascinate kids. And the good thing about it is, Leanne, in the story, as in the vast, vast majority of players in the NFL, the players are true heroes. They're wonderful young men. They work hard, they're honest, they're kind and considerate, they're charitable, and you know, you get to see that those qualities up close, which, as I said, I know firsthand are the qualities of the majority of players in that football league.
Tim Green, his new novel for young readers is called Football Genius, published by HarperCollins. He joined us from the studios of WAER in Syracuse, New York. Thanks. Good luck, Tim.
Thank you, Leanne. It was so nice to speak with you.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.